I'll ask you not to turn to it again, but the entire psalm deals with the storm. And the voice of the Lord is the one directing the storm. And it says such things as this: the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. That means that stormy waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. You and I, we can understand that because in our area we've had numbers of thunderstorms and so forth lately, and then had tornado warnings and so forth. The voice of the Lord is powerful, full of majesty. It breaketh the cedars. It maketh them to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. Shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Now this entire psalm describes a terrible storm. The Lord takes the earth and shakes the earth. There's an earthquake involved. Mighty winds cause mountains, high places to be leveled, and low places to be raised. And the Lord talks about the lightnings and the thunderings and a mighty storm. And then in verse 11, he closes by saying this: the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. With peace. You know, I've been thinking an awful lot lately, and thanking God lately for the peace that I have. No joke, really. I've been praising God for the peace that He gives to me. Now that peace is yours too. Most of many of you have it. I was talking to a lady, a teenage girl, Friday night, and about an experience that I'd forgotten. She said, my dad came here to go to college, but she said, I met you in another state down south. A state's represented this morning here, by the way. And she said, I used to hate you. I don't think she said she hated my... But she said, I used to hate you. And she said, I said, why? She said, you came to our church and preached. Well, that's enough reason right there. But she said, you came to my church and preached. And it so happened that when I walked in the church, they have a school there also. When I walked in the service that morning, it was a Tuesday morning, Bill Harvey was singing, and the students were making fun of him, many of them. And he'd go up high on his, he calls it mezzo forte, it's maybe falsetto, whatever it is. He goes up high there, and they'd laugh and make fun. And when the speaker before me was speaking, they were very rude. And they didn't look like Christian students anyway. Though it was a fundamental church. They didn't look like Christian students. And so when I got up, you can guess what I did. In my own timid and tactful and way, I let my convictions leak through. They just don't have a way of seeping through. And I just ripped and snorted and so forth. And so when it was all over, I went out side door, a little side room over here. And this young lady reminded me of this. Some fellows met me out there, a bunch of guys, and she said they were the meanest guys in the school. She said, now, they'd just soon kill anybody. Just look at him. And so I hope they didn't look at me. But they're waiting, and one fellow said, why did you do that? And they ganged around me, and she said she thought they were going to absolutely tear me up. And I'd forgotten about the experience. I knew I was there. I knew I had some problem, but I'd forgotten about this, so she reminded me. And then she said, do you know how you got out of it? And I said, no. And she said, you said, when they said, we're going to tear you up, you said, good. Because I've been wanting for a long time to use some of the karate and judo I learned when I was in the paratroopers. And she said, they turned pale and backed off. Now, I did learn some karate and some judo under paratroopers. I don't even think I remember enough of it to spell the words. But I'm thinking, how many times I've been in trouble, and how in the trouble the dear Lord seems to give me peace. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what our Lord meant when He said, "My peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth," or "not the peace that the world giveth, but my peace give I unto thee." Not a peace away from the storm, but a peace in the storm. Not a peace before the storm, but a peace through the storm. Not a peace apart from the storm, but a peace while the storm is raging. That's the kind of peace. By the way, that's the difference in the peace of God and the peace that the world giveth. The peace of God gives you peace while the battle's raging. The peace the world giveth gives you a tranquilizer while the battle's raging. The peace of God gives you peace in the midst of the storm, and the peace that the world gives you peace if you can get away from the storm. And somebody took a poll one time of the most loved word in the English language. I think the question was, what to you is the most loved word in the English language? High on the list was the word mother. Strange. Never put father up high on that list. I don't know why. To me, that's a very, very peaceful word. But high on the list was the word mother. And high on the list was the word love. But topping all of the words on the list of loved words was the word peace. Now, let's face it, we all love that word. Oh, maybe not all of us. There are probably a few ravens who are forever flying, or a few eagles who love the lightnings, or others like seabirds who ride the crest of strong waves. But the truth is, most of us are like doves who enjoy and look for the olive leaf of peace and brooks that sing softly as they flow. Most of us far prefer peace to war, rest to toil. Now, God wants us to have peace. And so God gives us a faint scent of a blossom that is in heaven. Somebody has said that peace is a bud which blooms on earth, or which buds on earth and blooms in heaven. And God sends us a faint scent of that perfume to earth and says, look, here's a little bit of what we have a lot of in heaven, and we all enjoy. Now, this peace starts at salvation. Let me say this. There's no way you can have real peace unless you're a Christian. No way in the world. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, Isaiah said. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. No way to have peace unless you're saved. You can take all the tranquilizers you want to take. You can go to all the psychiatrists you want to go to. Did you ever notice these psychiatrists, they interview on television? Most of them smoking one cigarette right after another to calm their nerves while they tell us how to calm our nerves. Crazy fools. And most of the psychiatrists I know are desperate for a psychiatrist anyhow. And you can take all the tranquilizers you want to take. And by the way, let me stop and say this. I fear that far too many people are taking far too much dope they shouldn't take. And I'm talking about dope that doctors give. And I'm afraid that many of you ought to take your dope and your tranquilizers and flush them down a commode sometime today and claim the peace that the Lord gives. Now, wait a minute. I'm not being unkind. I just know too many people that have been hooked on these things. Now, if you take them for a while and they don't work, but then you'll take something stronger. And after a while that doesn't work, you take something stronger. And I know people sitting in this room today who are almost vegetables because they started off taking a little light bit of what? Librium or something? And after a while, before you know it, you have to have stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, blessed be God, there's a peace that you can get that's far stronger than that, and it won't make you on dope at all. And that's the peace that our Lord gives. My peace leave I with thee. My peace give I unto thee. Not the peace that the world giveth, but my peace give I unto thee. Now, that peace, as I said, starts at salvation. When you realize that you're a sinner, when you believe that by sin, because of your sins, you're on your way to a Christless eternity, and you in faith turn to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you receive Him personally and you become His child, then God imparts to you and imputes to you the only real peace this world has to offer. And that's the peace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the way, that peace is a peace that cannot be shaken by circumstances. Though the great cedars of Lebanon are fallen, the mountains are moved, and the whole earth is lit with the lightning flames, and people tremble at the voice of thunder, and the wilderness of Kadesh is shaken, the Bible says the Lord will bless His people with peace. Now that means, folks, you can have the peace of God, and that peace is there when the table's full and when the table's empty. That peace is there when you have a job or if you don't have a job. That peace is there when you have friends or you don't have friends. That peace is there when you feel well or when you feel bad. That peace is there when there is no war or when there is war. There is a peace. Now, most of you don't have it. Most of us know nothing about it, but there's a peace that God wants you to have, and God will give you. And that peace is not dependent upon the circumstances. Listen to this jewel from the Word of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But you say, preacher, I don't have that peace. I'm nervous. Yeah, I know. You spend too much time reading magazines. But you say, preacher, I don't have that peace. How do I get it? You spend too much time watching Secret Storm and Private Tornado. Tiptoe and Hurricane. All the rest of it. You say, preacher, I don't have that peace. Why? I don't want it. You've got to stay your mind on Him. I mean, you get the place to where you can say with A.B. Simpson, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. When you get the place in your life where your mind is stayed on Him. What does that mean? He doesn't wander on something else. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to take a go here and have a release and a relief, and you don't have to have diversion all the time. We've got this thing so wrapped up. We say that you get peace because you take off for a few days. Well, blessed be God, I can tell you a peace you can have while you stay on all the time. This peace is those, not to those who come to church on Sunday morning and worship for an hour and a half. No, didn't say that. Didn't say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who comes to church on Sunday, puts a dollar in the collection plate, worships God. It does not say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who comes back on Sunday night and that's all. It doesn't say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who comes Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and that's all. It doesn't say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who's at visitation or at soul winning. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. It's there all the time on Him. That's the way you have the perfect peace. That's the way you have peace in the storm. That's the way you have peace in the depression. That's the way you have peace during the recession. That's the way you have peace during the battle. That's the way you have peace during communism. That's the way, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of what's happening on the outside, there is a peace that passeth understanding in the heart of God's person. Now, let me say this. Since God does offer this peace, you can rest assured Satan will offer his peace also. Satan offers a counterfeit for every good thing that God has. God has His church and Satan has his churches. God has His baptism and Satan has His confirmation, sprinkling, and baby baptizing. God has His Lord's Supper and Satan has His sacraments. God has His Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Satan has the dragon, Satan, and the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And God has His spirit fullness, and Satan has drunkenness and narcotic addiction, and God has peace, and Satan says, God says, my peace give I unto thee, not the peace that the world giveth. Now, some of you this morning have a peace, but it's a synthetic peace that the world giveth. I want to say three things. about that peace this morning. In the first place, that peace is based on ignorance and not knowledge. Are you listening? That peace that the world gives is based on ignorance and not knowledge. Let's suppose a man is given a letter. He's busy when he gets the letter. I do this often. People meet me in the hallway. They'll give me a letter. I'll stick it in my pocket with all the rest of these things in my pocket, and sometimes, I hate to say it, I almost always take it out and read it when I get back in my office, but sometimes I'll forget it's there, especially if it's laid here on the pulpit with the announcement. And sometimes, the first time I find out that I got that letter is when I put the suit on to wear it the next time in a week or two. Now, suppose somebody comes in and gives a letter, and that letter says that his mother has passed away, or his mother or father is at the point of death. And there's the bad news. But he has the letter in his pocket, but he hasn't read it. So he goes about his life. He goes about his good times. Hear his loud laughter. See his foolish jesting. Hear his giddy music. You ask him, do you have peace? Sure I have peace. Are you having fun? Sure I have fun. But what he does not know is that he bears in his own pocket a letter that tells about the death of someone very dear to him. He is ignorant about the circumstances and has a peace that is built on ignorance and not on truth. Let me tell you something this morning. There are folks in this room today on your way to hell, and you glibly laugh and joke, and you say, as the cab driver said to me 2 weeks ago, well, I have a lot of company there. You know as well as I know that's not giving you any consolation. You know that. You know that. But you go ahead and you laugh and have your fun, and yet what you do not know is there is a book here, and that book has a death message for you. And here you do not know it. You don't read it. You better get in this Bible and find out what it says. Because if you don't, you're going to have a peace one of these days that will turn to warfare and sorrow and heartache, realizing that you had a peace based on ignorance and not on truth. This Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those that forget God. This Bible says, then shall it say, those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This Word of God says, for the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever. You may have somewhat of a superficial, ignorant peace this morning, built on ignorance and not realizing that you're only one heartbeat away from eternal damnation without God, eternal fire, forever and ever and ever and ever. Don't wallow in that kind of ignorant peace. Wallow in a peace that's intelligent. I know the Word of God and I have peace. I've read the letter and I have peace. I know about hell, but blessed be God, I found the Savior and I have peace. The peace that the world giveth is an ignorant peace based on ignorance. But that isn't all. The peace that the world giveth is based on present conditions and not on future conditions. There's a certain kind of peace that comes before a storm. Is anybody here ever in a tornado? Raise your hand. I've seen them, been close to them. Thank you. You know this one thing is true, that right before the tornado, there is a tranquility like unto which you seldom see. What is it? Storm is coming, but there's a peace based on present conditions. One lady who was an earthquake said, and I quote, "That morning when we arose, I never saw more lovely weather. Everything smiled deliciously. The azure sky was without a cloud. And suddenly, without a moment's warning, a tremor seized the earth, and people were running to and fro in horror." Now, don't misunderstand me. They had peace. And then the tremor came. Their peace was based on a now knowledge and not future condition. Have you noticed right before a storm an ominous calm? Air that is motionless. The birds sit quietly. No leaf is stirring. Nature stands in muted awe It seems like that nature can see what's coming and we can't see what's coming. And the leaves look and see the storm coming and they are very still and quiet. And the wind sees the storm coming and it hushes for a moment. And the birds see the storm coming and they sit like deaf mutes waiting for the storm to come. And all of nature, who knows what man does not know, sees the storm approaching and there's a silence and a time of peace. And then suddenly, and the storm comes. And there are folks sitting in this room this morning, exactly like that. I mean, you say, I feel great. But right ahead, the storm is coming for you. And right ahead, God's wrath is going to come. And Jesus is going to come. Listen, you better get you a peace that's not built on present, but the future. Blessed be God. I can look to the future this morning. And I know whatever comes, the peace that God has given me, I know whatever comes, I'll still have that peace because my peace is a peace not that the world giveth, but the peace that our Lord gives. Thank God for that kind of peace. I think a famine's coming, but I have peace. I think war is coming, but I have peace. I think communism is coming, but I have peace. And I'm fully confident that if I live to be 70 years of age, I'm fully confident that I will have to face the sword in my own life, but I have peace. I mean this morning. I believe that the preacher boys sitting in this room this morning will have to turn their back upon Jesus Christ or die in America. I mean martyrdom. I mean slaughtered for the gospel. They're doing it in right now in Red China. They're doing it right now in Soviet Russia. And they're doing it right now in every other communist country in the world. And I am sick up to here of us saying that communists ought to have freedom in America to propagate their rotten trash and their rotten garbage. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll kill preachers. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll burn Bibles. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll close churches. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll melt church bells. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll put the sword at the throat of God's blood-washed people. They have no right to spread a doctrine that'll take away from America the freedom we've enjoyed for these 200 years. Amen. But in spite of that fact, I feel pretty good. And I have peace. Kind of peace that Peter could have in jail. Going to be killed the next day, and he's sound asleep. I heard Dr. Rice say the other day, he said, the angel came to wake Peter up. Remember the story about they're having a prayer meeting at Mary's house? And they were praying for Peter to get out of jail. And Peter got out of jail, was knocking on the door, and the reporter came to the door and said, who is it? And he said, it's Peter, I'm out of jail. And she went back and she said, the folks said, Peter's here. And they said, dear Lord, get Peter out of jail, get Peter out of jail. She said, Peter's here. He said, no, that's not Peter. That's a ghost. That's this ghost. We're having a prayer meeting that Peter get out of jail. Don't bother us. She said, Peter's out of jail. He's in the door now. No, don't bother us now. We're praying for Peter to get out of jail. But Dr. Rice said, now that was cute. He said that the angel smote Peter on the side. I mean, Peter was going to be killed the next day. He was in jail. And the angel, and the word smote there means he whacked him on the side. And Dr. Rice said the angel was upset with Peter. Said, good night, Peter. You're going to be killed tomorrow. Everybody else up praying for you, and here you are sound asleep. Oh, thank God for that kind of peace. Thank God for the peace that God giveth that can cause Paul and Silas to sing praises to God at midnight in the bottom of the dungeon in the dark, seepy jail. Thank God for the peace that he can give a John Huss, who when the crown is placed on him and he's being burned at the stake can say, Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. I'd gladly wear this crown for him. Thank God for a peace, not from the storm, but in the storm. Thank God for a peace, not when you only when you have democracy, but while you have communism. The thing that the God gives to his own dear people cannot be taken away by people. And so, it's based on present conditions, the peace that the world gives. People in bed right now, watching television and reading magazines and reading the Sunday newspaper, and there are folks in taverns and hear their laughter
and hear their peaceful talk.
What they don't know is a storm is about to take place. You folks this morning who are not saved, you're on the brink of dying without God, or you're on the brink of a world catastrophe coming, and our Lord coming in the clouds of glory, and you'll be lost forever and ever and ever. You say, I don't feel so bad. You will feel bad if you don't get born again. But you say, preacher, that doesn't worry. The gospel doesn't worry me. Now, you fool. You idiot. You don't know that you're saved. Our Lord could come at any minute, and the storm could come, and the dead in Christ should rise, and then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, and we shall ever be with the Lord. And those of you who are not saved, I don't care how much peace you have that the devil gives. I don't care how many tranquilizers you've taken. You'll be left on earth, and you'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you and hide you from the face of the living God. Last week, I went out to the cemetery that we own. That's the new business we've got, venture we're in. And we're buying up rapidly all the businesses here in the area. I told folks out at Capuchin Seminary, I said, today it's Capuchin. Tomorrow it's Notre Dame, and later on it'll be the Vatican, a matter of time. But anyway, I was out at the cemetery the other day, and we were making some plans for the future about the cemetery our church has purchased, Melody Memory Lane. And I came across the grave there, and it said Charles Foreman. And I stopped over his grave and realized that down in that hole was the body of that blind man whom I love so much and who loved me so much. And I lingered for a while. And as I walked away in my own heart, I said, Lord, this would be a mighty good time for you to come again. Oh, won't it be wonderful, blessed be God, when all the graves shall open and the dead be buried in the graves of the boys and girls whose places at the table is now empty, and the husbands whose places at the head of the table is now empty, and mothers who once loved us and now have gone on to glory, and the bodies rest in the silent city of the dead. Won't it be a wonderful, blessed thing when those graves open and where they rise and we rise to meet the Lord in the air? Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. But those of you that don't have the peace of God, you have nothing but fear, nothing but horror, nothing but sorrow, nothing but heartache. You'll be left. You'll be left. And then there's a third thing that peace the world giveth has, and that is it's based on what man says, not on what God says. It's based on what Dr. So-and-so says that went to study under Dr. So-and-so, who studied under Dr. So-and-so, bunch of pagan heathen people. Know nothing about real peace. Know nothing about the peace of God. Know nothing about the Bible. Know nothing about what God says. Any peace you have today, unless it's based on this blessed book, is a counterfeit. And it will not last when the storm comes. It won't do it. It won't do it. The peace that comes from psychologists is peace that the world giveth. The peace that comes from the modernist theology is the peace that the world giveth. The peace that comes from the communist movement is peace that the world giveth. The peace that comes from your tranquilizers is peace that the world giveth. The peace that comes from your false cults is peace that the world giveth. Your peace that comes from the power of positive thinking or the power of negative thinking. I don't care what it is. It's the peace that the world giveth. Oh, these poor fellas. I say fellas. I guess they're fellas. They wear skirts when they preach. But these poor fellas, and they get up in their robes and they say, now you just think positive. You just think positive. Well, bless God. Listen, I had the measles one time, thought positive for a week and never lost those red things on my face. And, no, you don't need positive thinking. You need to get born again. That's what you need. And if they'd ditch a bunch of that psychology and philosophy and psychiatrics and get back to the old-time gospel, ye must be born again. That's what this old sin-cursed world is hungry for. In God's dear name, get out of the pulpit or preach the gospel, one or the other. First one of you Hiles Anderson students ever gets in that positive thinking garbage, I'll grab you with a nap of the neck, and I'll get your diploma and jerk it out of that little case it's in, and I'll burn it up, and I'll defrock you and disown you. Don't you ever! Quit realizing and preaching that the answer for the sinful needs of man, the answer for man's hunger, and the answer for man's loneliness is found in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. Anything else is the peace that the world giveth. I was reading the other day the story of Joab in the Bible. Joab was a thorn in the flesh of David all of his life, and when David's son Solomon took over, Solomon decided to get vengeance on Joab, and he said, I'm going to kill him, and Joab started running. And Joab ran to the temple and ran inside the temple, and the Bible says that he started holding on to the horns of the altar in the temple. He thought that's where he thought holding on to the altar in the temple would get him peace, but it didn't. And then came the command from the king, fall upon him and bury him. Didn't do any good to hold on the horns of the altar. He thought going inside the sacred place would give him salvation, but it didn't. No, there's no external thing will give you salvation or peace. It's got to be on the inside. You ladies, God bless you. I'm glad we have you. You beautify the world greatly. Of course, you wouldn't unless you had so much junk on your face. But I'm glad you're here. You're very fine creatures. I'm glad God invented you. And somebody said that God made man, God made the world and rested, and God made Adam and rested, and God made Eve, and neither man or God has rested since. But I'm glad God made you. I'm glad to have you. But God bless you. You think that if you just get that next new outfit, you'll be happy? No, you won't. Or that if you just get that next new house, you'll be happy? No, you won't. And you men think if you can just get that next new car, you'll be happy. No, you won't. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you yield Him your body and soul. Folks, we're going to know some things in America that we never thought we'd know before long. It won't be long. I mean, it may be months, a few months. It'll just be a few years at the most. Where when you go out and knock on a door and invite somebody to come to church and Sunday school, you'll be breaking the law. Did you know that there are laws in two cities around here right now that say that you can't knock on doors unless you have a permit from the city council? You know what I'll do? I will rot in a jail cell before I'll ask permission from the city council to do what God commanded me to do. I'll rot in a jail cell. Don't say amen when I'm rotting in a jail cell. Do your own rotting. But I will. I will. I mean now. I got a letter the other day from a mayor of a certain town around here said, I'm willing to give some of your people permission to make special calls in our area. Well, Mayor, if you're here or if you hear this on tape, I already had permission to make calls in your area. And neither you nor the city council, as long as I'm a free man, will stop me from obeying the command of God to carry the gospel into all the world. Pass all the rules you want to. Senator Bayh, Kennedy, Tuna, all you want to pass. Mr. McGovern, pass all rules you want to. Go ahead. But while you're passing them, when you get through, I'll be preaching. And we'll be out knocking on doors trying to get folks saved. But you mark it down, folks. Young people, you especially, mark it down. You're going to see in just a few years the knife at the throat. Brother Fisk, come here. I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Now, I'm like a dad to you.
You're like a father to me, but I happen to be a rebellious son this morning. But now think about this for a minute. Look, suppose now, all kidding aside, let's suppose if that knife were to his throat. Now, no kidding now. And suppose you had the choice of denying our Lord or your head being severed. There are folks in the world right now who are making that choice. Right this minute. Right this minute. Now what you better do, and what I better do, is find something that's real to hang on to. And that something is faith in Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, holy lean on Jesus' name. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Thank God this morning, the peace that's in here is the peace that he gave to me. He will to me, not the peace that the world gives. Would you bow your heads with prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace of God. We born again people can say truthfully, Shalom, peace, peace. I pray that you'd impart that peace to others here today. Our heads are bowed. Do not leave the service. Do not leave the service. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. God's dear name, I can't. We announced what time we had dismissed the service. It's announced every week. We dismiss the service at 12:30. If you can't stay till 12:30, then don't come because we announced it. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because people in this room need God. And this is no time for us to be moving around. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Do you know him this morning? Have you trusted him as your own? Is he your Savior today? Do you know if you died this morning, you'd go to heaven? I wonder, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many would say, Brother Hiles, I do not have that peace about which you spoke today. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I'm going to ask them to do no walking around now. If you're walking, just stop where you are now. This is too serious a time for there to be walking around like we're at a ball game. Now with heads bowed, I wonder who would say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that my name is written in heaven. I do not know that I'm God's child. But I wish I did know. I'd like to know. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. And I want to go to heaven. But I don't know that I'm saved. I want this peace. Brother Hiles, pray for me. Heads are bowed. Everybody be seated, please. Let me take care of all the discipline now. I don't like all this moving around now. People sometimes are stopping folks from talking or doing more, making more noise than the folks are talking. Everybody your head bowed now. Nobody moving. Who would say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know Jesus. I don't know this peace you're talking about. God bless you back in the back. God bless you on the bottom floor. Who would say, pray for me? I want to be saved and know it. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. I see you. And God bless you, little lady. I see you. Who else on the bottom floor would say, include? Yes, there are 3, 4 over here on my left. God bless you. Who else on the bottom floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Pray for me. God bless you, sir. I see you, and I see that little one. Back over here, 2 of you. Yes, I see you on my left. God bless you. Many hands are up on the main floor. Who else on the bottom floor would say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. Now let's go upstairs in the balcony. How many folks sitting in the balcony this morning would say, Brother Hiles, include me in this prayer? I don't know that I'm God's child. I want to have this peace you're talking about, but I don't have it. Pray for me. God bless you. I see you. And God bless you, sir. God love you. Who else would say, pray for me? Who else? May I see your hand? Pray for me. In the balcony, who else would say, include me in the prayer? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't have this peace, but I want it. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Who else? Father, I pray for all of these today. Oh, God in heaven, I pray for them. That they'll say yes to Jesus and come and trust in as Savior. Now heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In a few moments we're going to stand and sing. The choir's going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. I mean this, friend. What you need is Jesus. Jesus. It's trite, but it's still true. Christ is the answer. He is your need. He'll fill every need. Jesus is the friend you need. Such a friend is He, indeed. He who noteth every tear, He can banish every fear. Jesus is the friend you need. Young lady, you're not going to find your happiness in the world. Young man, you're not going to find your peace in the world. The world has never given anybody peace, and it never will. You're not going to find it. If this morning you'd be willing to say, I will today. I am going to come to Jesus. I am going this morning to receive Christ as my Savior. In a moment, the choir is going to sing. And when the choir sings, I want you to leave your seat wherever you're sitting. I want you, if you're on the lower floor, to come to the nearest aisle and down the aisle to the front, and our assistant pastors will show you how you can go to heaven when you die. If you're in the balcony, we have 7 sets of stairs. I want you to leave your seat and come to the nearest set of stairs and down the stairway to the front. Let us show you how to go to heaven when you die. Just before we sing, may I have your attention just for a minute, please? Everyone looking just for a minute. And we're going to sing now. Listen carefully. We can kid ourselves if we want to. But we face some mighty tough days. I'm talking about famine. You can kid yourself if you want to, but brother, this matter of depression is not going to get much better until it's a lot, lot worse. Now, we can kid ourselves if we want to, but communism has taken over this country. You go to practically any university or any big factory, go right out here to Inland Steel, and you'll find people passing out literature openly advocating revolution against America. Right out here on the jobs. Now you listen to me. And you better listen. You can stick your head in the sand if you want to. But we're facing some pretty tough days. And you know what? What we believe is going to be tested pretty soon. I told my class this morning. I was on an airplane flying to St. Louis, Missouri. A lady beside me was a Christian Scientist. So we were at the gate, hadn't taken off, and I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, there's no heaven. I said, if you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. She said, there's no hell. You just think there's a hell. She said, and all of that, you don't die, you just think you're dead. You don't have pain, you just think you have pain. We took off, got 20,000 feet in the air, and the engine caught on fire. She looked at me, and she said, oh, my, what happened? He said, engine's on fire. I said, no, you just think it's on fire. She said, don't you laugh. Oh, this is no time to make fun. We could be killed. I said, no, I would. You just think you're dead. And I looked at her and I said, you're sweating, aren't you? You know what had happened? I told her. I said, you know, it didn't take us 15 minutes to test who was right on the ground. Huh? It didn't take us 15 minutes to test who was right on the ground. Brother or sister, testing day is just about here. Now, you can kid me if you want to or try to. You can try to fool me. Fool yourself. Fool your mom. Fool your dad. Fool your friends. Go ahead. But do you know that what you have is real? If you don't, I'd leave that seat this morning before they sang the first stanza. And I'd come down this aisle and I'd say to one of God's men here, I want that which is real. You say, preacher, what is it? It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. How do you know? My God is real. For I can feel Him in my soul. What I have, you can have. Now you better quit kidding yourself and trying to fool others. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Shall we stand?